866-88-BIBLE, 866-88-BIBLE.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our show. And together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, November the 9th, 2021. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio at 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. KVOI Worldwide Live Listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tucson's January 8th privately funded memorial, which was dedicated on January 8th of this year, may be in line to become an affiliated area of the National Park System, giving the site national exposure. The memorial is located at the Pima County Courthouse Plaza. It commemorates the January 8th, 2011 shooting at a Congress on Your Corner event outside of Tucson Safeway, where then Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was critically wounded by a shot to the head. The mass shooting claimed six lives and wounded 13, including former Congressman Ron Barber, who was at the time Gabrielle Giffords' aide, and Ron was shot in the leg. Congressman Barber recently told a House National Resources Committee subcommittee hearing on the National Park System designation bill that the shooting affected the conscience of America. It was felt not only in America, but abroad. Congressman Ron Barber, who is the Southern Arizona aide to Senator Mark Kelly, joins us now on the live line. Congressman Barber, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thanks. And how are you? I hope your recovery is continuing to go well.
Well, it is 6 months into the accident when I broke my arm up in Alaska. And as you very well know about physical therapy, you kind of reach a plateau. And I'm sort of there right now. It's been frustrating, but we push on through, and it's not going to be an overnight situation. There's many more months of PT ahead, but we have had results, which is the good news.
That is the good news. I'm really glad you're recovering. And yes, the plateaus exist. I had one or two along the way, and I had physical therapy for about a year and a half. So hang in there. It'll get better as time goes on. I'm so glad your arm is improving.
What was the message when you were testifying, Washington, that this is something that the whole nation should know about? And I know that there was some pushback that this maybe was more of a local or regional area, and I know you disagree with that.
Yeah, absolutely, I disagree. When you look at what happened that day and who was wounded, who was killed, it takes on national significance. For example, the primary target of the assassin was Congresswoman Giffords. Thank goodness she survived and is doing well and continues to inspire us. But the gunman's goal was to kill her, assassinate her, and he was unsuccessful. But he went on to kill others, including the chief judge of the federal court in Arizona, the first ever staff person from the House of Representatives to be killed in the line of duty, and three others who were killed as well. So there's no question in my mind, and I think in the mind of anyone who was there and how our community responded, that this is an event of national significance. We certainly saw how the media treated it. I mean, we had an encampment of every station, and it seemed like national station and over networks from overseas, there in front of the hospital every single day for a better part of a month. So I think there's plenty of rationale to say this is of national significance and ought to be on the National Register of Memorials.
When is the decision expected on this?
Well, there's two steps to it. First of all, the decision, well, more than two, but the first step after the hearing is when the committee, the subcommittee that I testified to, will take a vote on not just our bill, but the bill that affect other memorials and other situations within federal land. And that hopefully will come soon. There's several bills that probably will be packaged together. Then if it goes to the House floor and is successful, it goes over to the Senate. And we do, of course, have support in the Senate for this. So I'm hopeful that after a series of votes, it'll eventually get to the president's desk. I don't expect it to be a standalone bill. It's not big enough for that. But I think it will be an omnibus bill of some kind having to do with land. And certainly Chairman Grijalva, who chairs the committee that we testified in front of, he's very supportive, and I know he'll do everything he can to expedite its approval.
The setting is excellent. You have the dedication today, Ron Barber, of the old Pima County Courthouse, the dedication of the museum complex that is contained within that. So it's really a multi-level kind of setting where there's the appropriate setting, let's put it that way, for this national designation.
There's no question about that in my mind. And one of the things that we have to recognize is that the location, which is the historic courthouse, which has been totally restored and just beautiful, is at the center of civic life and, I think, cultural life in Tucson. You know, the civic life is represented by Pima County government, the Pima County court system, and the mayor and council offices, all in adjacent to the memorial and to the building, the historical courthouse itself. So, we chose the site for that very reason. But the complex itself is amazing, and I would invite all of your listeners to come down. The gem and mineral exhibition that's put on by the University of Arizona with private funding is stunning. People have to see it. The visitor center's got lots of interactive displays that kids can involve themselves with, adults too. And then upstairs, the courthouse that's now called the Dillinger Courthouse has been fully restored to how it looked back in the day when John Dillinger and his gang were arraigned there. So it's a wonderful setup. My biggest disappointment today was that Chuck Huckleberry, county administrator, is still in the hospital recovering from being hit when he was on a bicycle downtown. And we understand his wife was there and spoke to it all, said he's improving. But this was his vision, the whole complex, restoring the building, restoring to its old look, the courthouse, putting in a visitor center, the Gem and Mineral Show, and our memorial. Our memorial was funded, as you mentioned, by private donations from foundations and individuals and companies in town. The campaign fundraising for it was chaired by Jim Click and Gabby Gifford. So it's been a work in progress for several years, but all the money that really went into building it, designing it, and so forth, was done by private funds.
You have been in public service for 54 years. What's this I hear about you actually are deciding you are going to step away?
Well, there's a lot of skeptics about that. I mean, when people come up to me and said, I heard you're retiring, but I don't believe it because you've retired so many times in your life. And it's true, actually. One, it was an involuntary retirement when the voters voted me out back in 2014. But the other is, I've retired from state government to work for Gabby, a campaign. I retired or resigned from Gabby's office to run for the congressional seat that she vacated. And then, when I lost in 2014, my third race, I thought, okay, that's it. But then along came another member of Congress who needed some help, and so I went to work for her. Then I was getting ready to retire end of the second year of Ann Kirkpatrick's term, and Senator Kelly called me up and said, could you come and help me get set up? And that's what I did. I joined the transition team, helped establish the office and the community connections, and now it's time for me to move on. He knew that. I was leaving after a year, and I've just been an absolute honor and privilege to work for him.
I think the phone will be ringing for you, Ron Barber.
possibly. Yeah. But, my biggest goal now is, since I'm not in public service, which means governmental service of one kind or another, my focus now is going to be on my family first and foremost, and then a lot of nonprofit groups here in Tucson that I love, some of which I'm on the board for. That's where my new community work will be focused going forward.
I know when I broke my arm and had some really tough times, you were very supportive as I was starting physical therapy. There are some low moments for sure, as you well know, correct? Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a cyclical thing, And for me, at least, every time the anniversary comes around, I get an emotional feeling about it. But the physical recovery takes a long time. You got to be really patient. You know, I was shot in the face and the leg. Actually, the face looked like a terrible injury, but it wasn't. The one in my leg severed the vein and then nicked the nerve. And so that was the longest recovery of all. I almost died because of the blood loss that day. So yeah, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm the luckiest guy around because I nearly died a couple of times on the ground, but the passersby, the shoppers, and the EMTs helped save my life. And then, of course, the hospital staff were magnificent. So very fortunate. On either side of me that morning was a person that I know really well, an old friend from college, Judge Roll. He was dead. At my feet, well, my deputy, Gabe Zimmerman, died. And then Gabby and I are lying there, both injured severely. And you have to wonder, how come we survived and they didn't? You know, that goes through your head. But the recovery requires patience. And I'm a very impatient guy when it comes to things like that. But my wife is good at slowing me down and saying, take it easy. Yes. You can't do everything you used to do anymore. Like, your energy is not as strong as it used to be.
Ron Barber, good connecting with you again. Good luck. We'll be talking. Thank you, Ron Barber.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Former Congressman Ron Barber, who says he's going to be retiring after 54 years of public service. We'll see. All right. We'll take a break right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. They are now taking orders. You bet. Thanksgiving. What kind of pie do you want? And what about your dinner rolls? Everyone has a favorite. I think we're going to be doing pumpkin pie, maybe apple too, from Mona's Danish Bakery. And both would be great choices. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can order your stuff by phone or on the website, or better yet, when you stop by the bakery. We'll be right back. Shelley Fishman giving me a big thumbs down. Well, it's Tuesday afternoon. What do you expect? We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with The Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, with us at approximately 11:20 every Tuesday afternoon. I was just reflecting, Shell. First of all, good to see you. Hi,
good
Shelley.
Good to see you, Bill.
Go back to when we first launched the show, the first week of January of 2011. Take every Tuesday, and I wonder if we would be on the plus or minus side. I would guess a little bit on the minus.
I would guess more than a little bit on the minus. You know, this is
weird,
absolutely just off the top of my head without having done any Tuesday research. But it just seems like the markets do well, and then there's Tuesday. And then they do well and well and well, and then it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Today's Tuesday, and we're down, what, 200?
200-something points. Yeah, down about 0.5%.
But nothing to really be too concerned about.
On Friday, we had one of the best labor reports, followed by the passage of the president's infrastructure bill, plus the scaling back of quantitative easing was viewed by the Fed, was viewed as a ho-hum. We expected this to happen. And the markets went nuts. The markets just hit record day after record day after record day. So even yesterday, the markets did okay. Today is Tuesday. They're down a bit. We are at or near the record highs that we've ever been. I haven't done the math for the year, but I think it's like 18% up for the year.
It's a good year.
So it's a really good year. I don't know where we're going to end the year, but if you're an investor or if you have a 401k and if you haven't panicked about all the junk you hear, you know, from politicians, then you've done real well. Even the bond market has done just fine in the past 8 or 9 months.
And that news from Merck, the pharmaceutical, that there is a therapeutic on the horizon, a pill for those with COVID.
Well, you know,
that came out Friday too.
And that was seen as good news.
Right.
What has happened, however, in the past couple of days is we've seen COVID cases begin to rise again over the past couple of days. So it's not clear that this pandemic is done with us yet. We're having, in places where you wouldn't expect it, like Colorado, they're having tremendous peaks, and it's beginning to tax their healthcare system. This is, you know, getting into cooler weather. This is typically when pandemics or when flu-like diseases do get worse. We're also approaching, you know, the holidays with Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays. And we know in the past year and a half around the holidays, they tend to be kind of spreader events. So it's not clear that this pandemic is done with us. The best thing people can do is get vaccinated. I, for one, will be getting my booster tomorrow.
Yep, I had mine a week or so ago. So amen to that. And certainly in Pima County, we're at a plateau here, 400 to 500 cases daily. Mm-hmm. That's far too much community spread of COVID in Pima County right now. So we are one of those states like Colorado where this thing is really hanging on.
Right. And despite this, we have the economy adding 531,000 jobs in October, which actually gives us an average for the year of 580,000 new jobs each month. August and September were revised upwards. They were not great reports when they came out. They were revised upwards by about 18%. So in normal times, it takes about 200, 210,000 jobs a month to maintain a normal growth period and normal status quo with people retiring and you know, losing their jobs, whatever. What we see at 580,000 is steady progress toward getting us back to where we were before the pandemic hit. We're seeing an unemployment rate go down to 4.6%, which, by the way, was always considered a very, very low rate. We did hit, I think, 3.6, 3.7 at the very end of 2019. But some of that was just, you know, jobs that nobody wanted to have. And so what we're seeing is that the job participation rate is about 2% below what it should be. It's down at around 61.5%. We want it to be at around 63%. And there's just a hesitancy on the part of people to get back into the job market, either because they're fearful of having service jobs in places that could be dangerous to them from a COVID perspective, or we're having a lot of people who are baby boomers retiring early. They just decided, well, what the heck?
And there's childcare. That's a huge thing.
Exactly.
That's huge.
So what we did see in this report were average wages going to $30.96 an hour. And then that's up 4.9%, but it's not a straight line. So if you take a look at where that increase was, it was down in the lower wage jobs. So what we're seeing is you know, job offerings in the $9 and $10 an hour range are basically being scoffed at by people who are looking to get reemployed. And they're going for jobs that are readily available now in $14, $15, and $16 an hour job. So that's hurting, for instance, restaurants and hotels. But it's good for people who were used to working at, you know, $9, $10 jobs, and now they can actually get jobs with major corporations at $15 and $16, and they come with benefits.
Inflationary pressure? What about that, Shelley?
Well, inflationary pressure is a problem. There's no way you can get around the fact that certain things, because of pipeline issues, because of supply issues, have simply gone up. Cars, food, other things that people react to. And that is creating a concern on the part of lots of people about whether or not all the spending that the administration has done has created this inflation. There's no evidence of that. All the evidence is that these problems are caused by supply issues, and we've got to get past this. We absolutely have to get past it. It's peaked, it's begun to come down, but what we're seeing instead of the 2% target is a 5% year over year for the past year, and that's alarming for people. And the Fed has not begun to take any steps to control that inflation, and the Commerce Department has not seen this as alarming. However, if you are marginal in terms of your income and you see fuel and food and rent and now heating costs as we go into the winter, as we see those costs go up and we're not getting the kind of relief that had been anticipated by these things being temporary, which was the term we use, rather than endemic, we've got to do something about this.
There are a lot of Christmas gifts on the ships that are all waiting to be unloaded at the port of Long Beach, a record number of ships.
Record number of ships are and it's not because the ships aren't being unloaded. Mm-hmm. It's because there's no place for those containers to go once they get unloaded.
Right.
I heard some anecdotal information yesterday that these massive mm-hmm. containers mm-hmm. are being stored in parking lots or being stored on side streets.
Wow.
They just can't get them onto trucks because there's no truckers.
No. That's a huge issue about the truckers.
Right. So
there's just not enough trucks to move this stuff.
So what's happened is demand for services has gone down. Demand for goods, especially mail order, buy over the internet goods mm-hmm. has gone way up mm-hmm. and our supply system has not been able to keep up with it.
It affects everything, including cat food, as we have discovered at the Buckmaster House. Oh, yeah. That's a big issue for those that like a certain particular kind of cat food, and I won't name the name, but there are big shortages out there. All right, Shelley, on that note, cat lovers know what I'm talking about.
What about dog food for those dog lovers?
I don't know about the dog food, but I imagine it could be a problem as well. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here.
Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare. by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hard to believe, but already the holidays are upon us. Thanksgiving a couple of weeks away. That means the poinsettias are ready at Green Things. Get your order in right now. They have thousands in some very surprising colors, all beautiful. Warehouses, greenhouses is the appropriate term there, Bill. I guess you could call them warehouses as well, but they are ready for the holidays. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business on their 13-acre site is Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and Europe, and there's some great things for the holidays there at as well. ZocaloVillage.com is the website. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson. How are you today, Sharon?
I just had an amazing. We dedicated, the new old courthouse. Today we had the grand opening, and lots of great people there. So it was a good morning.
We were talking with Ron Barber, who talked about his retirement. We'll see if that's going to happen after 54 years of public service. He was with us at the top of the program, and he was saying about the dedication today of these incredible museums. The University of Arizona Mineral Collection, Ron said, is just unbelievable. And he said there was also a little bit of a sadness because of Mr. Huckleberry's very serious accident. This was Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry's vision, wasn't it, Sharon Bronson?
Yes, it definitely was. And I joined him in that vision. And, just putting politics aside, I missed him today. Trying not to tear up at the moment. He's doing well. He's improving. But, he was the county historian. Had he been there today, we've gotten a 20-minute lecture on how, when this started, how we got here. And it's not just about when we started in 2004 with the bond election, but he knows the history. And, if you look at it, that courthouse has been there in different forms for about, 250 years? And he is our historian. Had he been there today, I wouldn't be here now, because he would have given us a two-hour lecture on how, this started with the 2004 bond election, when the old courthouse needed to be renovated, and then we were moving to a new courthouse, and we adapted it. We chose adapted reuse. And if you haven't visited, I'm going to take you on a tour personally.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And when you say 250 years, of course, you're talking about it's about 100 years for the current structure. But the part of the Presidio, that was an area that was used. So, it's been used for, as you say, since the really beginning of the European settlement in downtown Tucson. So there's tremendous history there. And this is a community project. Everybody came together on this. And as you say, politics were put aside. And now we really have something really beautiful. And right outside of the courthouse is this is the January 8th memorial that we were talking with Ron Barber about, and that may become part of the national park system. So this is going to be a
It better become part of the national.
I hope so.
It's amazing. Have you visited?
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's very moving, and this will be a multi kind of, you visit the courthouse, you can visit the memorial, so it really makes sense that this would be a national designation. Before we move on, well, I do want to move on because the rate of COVID in the community is far too high, 400 to 500 cases a day. I thought by now we would have moved on, but Arizona is one of a dozen states, many of them here in the West, that really COVID is widespread still in Pima County.
Yes, it is, and that's a challenge. And I don't know if we can solve it, but we've got to do testing. Most of it is coming at this point from, I mean, both of us have seen, we've got, you know, we've closed some classrooms down. People just need to mask up, get vaccinated, or we're going through another cycle. That's the reality. I just hope that people would anybody just mask up, get vaccinated, so we can get the economy moving forward. But it's the cases Arizona used to be the best. Now we're the worst in terms of, well, I shouldn't say the worst, but every day the cases are going up, people are dying. Why just get vaccinated, whoever is out there, so we can get the economy moving? This isn't ideology. This is reality. You get vaccinated for polio, for I don't know how many MMR, get vaccinated for this so we can all get back to actually talking to one another in person. I don't know how you feel, but I just want us to all get on the same page. I don't know how.
Yeah, and you know, the county has done everything it can at this point to try to incentivize people getting the shots. Overall, Sharon Bronson, what are we at with the 6,000 plus employees? Are we at somewhere like 80-85%?
Depends on the department. So we're heading in the right direction. I really hate punishing people, but I really want to go out and actually be able to enjoy the night at walking downtown without wearing a mask. We can't do it unless everybody steps up and understands this is not about ideology. It's about public safety.
I agree.
And we, okay.
And I one more thing about the courthouse museums. Is there an admission charge, or what are the hours? Could you fill us in on that? Is it open every day, or what?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
But today it was free.
Okay.
And if you had been there, you could. But you know, the Mineral Museum, our visitor center, is always free.
Sure.
But if you want to go to the Mineral Museum, it's going to cost you a few bucks.
Okay.
But I think. And what is most important to me is the January 8th memorial. That's free, too. You need to take a look at it. People died there, and you had Ron Barber on the show.
Yep.
This is an amazing, the Mineral Museum is amazing, too. But that architectural, it's a landmark. I mean, it just, you need to see it.
All righty. We're going to have to run. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Good chatting with you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Sharon Bronson, Pima County Chairwoman, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, our arts report on Buckmaster on a Tuesday.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios and the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do over there in a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only about a three-hour drive. This is a perfect time of year in New Mexico. The weather is great. For more on what to do and where to stay, visit Southwest New Mexico, spell that out, .org, and there you will find all sorts of information about how to recreate and just have a great time in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our monthly arts report now, and Margaret Regan on our live line. Margaret first started writing at the Tucson Weekly back in 1990, 31 years ago. She's been writing about the arts in our community, and she is also the author of two very popular books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and her first book was The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well, and theater is back.
Yes, it is. Now, how many times have I come on your show and talked about Hamilton and whether it's ever going to come to Tucson?
It is. It's here.
It's a week to go, so I guess we can be sure that it will actually happen. It's starting up on Wednesday next week with the big opening, or, you know, big fancy opening on Thursday night next week. So that's some news for you.
24 performances at Centennial Hall. That's a pretty ambitious schedule for this show.
Yeah, isn't it? Well, you know, I looked up last night on all the, you know, where you get the tickets, and it looks like they're selling tickets very well. There's still a lot of tickets left. It looked like most of the ones that left, you know, sort of later in the time. I think, let's see, when is the last date did I say?
I think it's December the 17th. No, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, that was, yeah, no, I made a mistake there. No, December 5th.
December 5th.
Yeah, okay. So if somebody wants to go, you know, go to BroadwayInTucson.com, and you can see it all there. And I do have to caution you that it is pricey.
Yeah. $299 is the top ticket.
I hope I was reading that right, you know.
Could be.
Yeah, it's very, very popular. I have a funny review from the New York Times. You know, this play came out in 2015.
Yeah.
Imagine all that time. What was it that he says? He was the New York Times critic back in 2015. You know, he was talking about how expensive it is, but he says, I am loath to tell people to mortgage their houses and lease their children to acquire tickets to this Pitt Broadway show.
I think he liked it.
Yeah, I think he liked it.
So
it's worth it to send off the children, you know.
Yeah. So are there any restrictions, every other row seating, or is it just pretty much fill the house?
Well, I'm guessing that they're filling the house, but they do have some pretty strict COVID
protocols
here, a whole big list. You have to have your negative test from a few days before. Let's see, 72 hours prior, you must have gotten a negative test.
Really?
And or... if you are fully vaccinated, you must present your vaccination card at the time of arrival. Now, I have heard different things, reports around town for places doing it. Some people saying it's kind of, you know, I'm not speaking specifically about this play, but just the arts in general. Some places are extremely strict, and they want to see your driver's license if they can compare it to your vaccination card. Others just sort of say, oh, okay, that's it, you know, come right on in. So
yeah.
I don't know yet. I'm scheduled to see this show next Thursday night, so I can find out how careful they are. And I want them to be as careful as possible because that is a large theater. I mean, it's more than 2,000 people, isn't it, I think?
Yes, it is. I think 2,400 is the
so
seating.
They're all filled, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people. So you're also writing about Etherton Gallery and the new location.
Yeah. Have you been down there yet?
Not yet. I hear it's fabulous. Terry right now is over at the Paris Art Show. But I've been seeing his stuff on Facebook, and he's over in Paris. But there is a show right now at the new gallery.
Yeah, and he's very proud of the show. It's called Joel Peter Witkin, Journeys of the Soul. This is a man who has been an amazing photographer his whole life, and I believe he's 82 in that vicinity right now. So, you know, this is a sort of a show of, you know, touching on his whole career from back when he was quite a young man. He does these amazing things. He uses photography, but it's all staged. It's like he's almost creating a movie or something. He hires people. He has all these things to look at, you know, things, props. And he, you know, creates them. And they're gorgeous, and they're often very sexual. But they're mostly like they, as they said in their place that, you know, he does shows about the disabled and transsexuals, the nude and the dressed, the living and the dead. I mean, he embraces all manner of people. So they're very interesting. And, you know, I was down at the gallery the other day, and Terry said, even people who don't care for this kind of thing can see that it is pretty amazing, you know, in the care in which he does it. Another nice thing about the show is that there's a lot of little drawings by Joel Peter Witkin, and I've never seen those before. Apparently he draws, you know, when he's planning these great big scenes, he does a lot of drawing and puts his characters in, and so there's a whole wall of those, and they were just completely charming.
This is the 40th anniversary of Terry Etherton's gallery, and of course most of the time was in the original digs at the 4th Avenue to where you had to walk up the stairs. Up a flight.
27 steps.
Yeah, up a flight of stairs to the gallery, but now he's in the barrio, and apparently it's a really nice space.
It's a very nice space. You know, it was made originally to be an art gallery way back in the 80s. So it's not one of the old, you know, historic buildings down in the barrio. It's new, but it's very, very nice, and it fits in with the town. You know, it's been in use all these years. But it has these smaller spaces, which he really likes, because he's going to have a whole section that's always about painting and another section that's always about that or always about that. You know, the other place was basically one great big room.
Right.
If you walked into that, you know, you sort of see everything. But this has the same amount of space, but it's in smaller places, and he really likes that he will have more leeway to do different kinds of shows. And he also has a beautiful patio in the back, and he's put up a lot of sculpture. And that's going to be outside permanently, and he's thrilled about that because, you know, given those stairs he had in the other place, there was very few, you know, statues that to put up there because they just couldn't do it. So, and he has space for band concerts, and he's really seeing that this is going to be a big place, and it seems like a little bit of a shot in the arm to that neighborhood downtown, too.
Yeah, I'm glad for him. 40 years, he's really made a name in this community. The Arizona State Museum did reopen in late August. They were closed for a year and a half. That's a nice museum. They've got a show up right now.
Yeah.
You wrote about that as well for the Tucson Weekly.
Right, yeah. I wrote that it says it's a dazzling show, you know, with the hues and colors of Mexican saltillo serapes.
Huh.
They're the beautiful textiles that you see in Mexico.
Right.
You should see these colors, just gorgeous, very, very deep colors, red, orange, black, yellow, white. It's really interesting because a lot of it, you know, are the older serapes, but there are also some by a young man from Mexico. His name is Porfirio Gutierrez. He is a Zapotec textile artist, and he did a lot of these pieces for this show. And he was up here. They had him come up to do a whole workshop a couple of weeks ago. So it's really interesting, and I really hope people get out there because they sometimes think of it only as a place that's just about history or anthropology, but this is art, you know.
Yeah.
This is beautiful art.
So that's the Arizona State Museum on the University of Arizona campus. That particular show is up through July of 2022. Margaret, out of time. It goes so quickly with you. And we'll talk to you for our holiday edition of Arts, our Arts Report in early December. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. That'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Engineering and Producing, Margaret Regan, and me, Bill Buckmaster, hope you have a great afternoon. Dave Ramsey is next.